Good morning, everybody. That's right, 10 o'clock, this is my morning. Of course, the name of this is Performing Hypnosis. And I have done I stopped counting at 10,000 events. I averaged 300 shows a year for 30 years in a row. And then I stopped counting. So I said, I pretty much got the record. Nobody's going to be able to top it. But yes, I like to go to sleep late. I like to wake up late. So whenever I do my trainings, my conferences, some of you folks have been there to my place already, we start at 10 a.m., right? I like to start at 10. It's perfect time. The name of this is Performing Hypnosis. And the reason why I call it Performing Hypnosis and not Stage Hypnosis is because there's two different things. Yes, stage is part of a performance. However, Performing Hypnosis can be for one person. If you're in a clinical setting and the wife brings in the husband and says he needs to quit smoking. That's a tough client, right? That's a tough scenario. We've all been through a situation like this before, right? Where somebody brings, right? The performance now has to begin. And that performance is what's going to make and break how good that client responds. People ask all the time, well, who's the best hypnotist? It's not the one with the best inductions. It's not the one with the best therapy. It's the one with the best act. It's a show. And it's our responsibility to give the show. When I'm doing a formal show, a hypnosis show. Here's what happens. I got 10, 15 people on a stage, all sitting on chairs. You'll see it tonight. You know, you'll see. We're doing the show after the banquet tonight. You'll see it. I'll have 10, 15 chairs set up. I'll have all people knocked out, hypnotized, make them do wacky stuff. As you're doing that show, you have stars, you know, killer subjects. And you have some medium players. If you have a weak subject on the stage, what does the audience say? It drives them insane. And they think that person is faking. And then what does that do for the rest of the show? It kind of diminishes it a little further. So the problem we have as hypnotists is the fact that we have the benefit of knowledge and experience. We know what a hypnotic subject can do. We know that. The general public doesn't know that. And that's a major problem. Because even though we have this subject on stage, that person is weak compared to the stars, they stick out like a sore thumb. The audience doesn't know that they're still hypnotized. And what happens is the show will fall flat until you eliminate that person. And sometimes, here's the real sad one, when you have a subject that is so good, and you've all had those people come into your offices before, you go like this, sleep, and knocked out, right? The beautiful dream client. Well, I get them on the stage all the time too. And they get knocked out. And all of a sudden, they're all over the place. And the crowd thinks that they're faking because they're too good. And sometimes you have to eliminate the best subject on the stage, which is terrible. You know, you hate doing it, but sometimes you got to do it. Of course, that saves the show. When you're doing hypnosis, you have to do thousands of decisions throughout the course of the hour and a half. And here's my decision-making process when I'm doing performing. If I do this, is the audience going to believe more or less? That's the number one thing you have to do when you're performing. Believability. Believability in hypnosis is the key ingredient to everything. You have to have that. Without that, you've lost everything. Trust me when I tell you, I have a massive sampling size that a lot of you folks don't get. the sampling size of the general public at large about hypnosis, which nobody knows anything about. We know it, but this is a hypnosis conference. We all know. Go speak to people in the mall. Ask them, just do a survey. Tell me everything you know about hypnosis. Nobody knows anything. Even though we have the greatest tool in the world to make people's lives better, it's still an unknown. People are still fearful of it. So our responsibility is to train and teach the general public this is the way it works. And believability is the number one decision-making process to everything you do, especially when you're performing. You're going to perform an act. And this is like a circus act almost. It's almost unbelievable. You're Jedis. It's almost the closest thing to having a superpower as you can have for a human, is being a hypnotist. Because you think about what's going on. Think about what you're doing. All right? Especially on a show. All right? You're doing a show, and you've just had volunteers in the audience come to the stage. Your friends, that their friends and family, are now sitting on the chair. They got hypnotized right before their eyes and doing all this wacky stuff that is totally out of character for them. They're saying to themselves, this can't be this. What's going on? So you have to make it as believable as possible for that, and that's what's going to give you the richness. That's going to give you the key ingredients. And it's the exact same thing with somebody coming into your office. Now, if I'm going to do one-on-one person, how do we make it more powerful? How do we give them the wow factor? Because that's what people want. They want the wow, right? If you think about the things that people know about hypnosis, it's all the stuff they see on TV and in the movies. And what do they see on TV and in the movies? Anybody want to venture a guess? Their experience with hypnosis in the TV and movies, what is it? It's zombies, right? It's all the zombie apocalypse, all kinds of wacky stuff happening, right? Office space, right? Where the hypnotist dies and the guy's doing all this wacky stuff the entire movie. Shallow Hal, all right? Where the guy gets hypnotized and all of a sudden he's going crazy with the big girl, all right? Right? That's what happens. That's what people think hypnosis is. All right? So you have to give them the zombies. If you don't give them the zombie apocalypse, you don't give them the wow, right? It's not working. To them, it's not working. So a client comes into my office, all right? Client comes into your office. You zap them out with a killer induction. And I like to think of hypnosis as two separate line items, the induction, and then everything that comes after it. Stop thinking about like hypnotherapy or a hypnosis show. It's two separate line items. Knock them out. What comes after that? Is it therapy or funny stuff? Either or. Two separate line items. So get really good at this, knocking people out fast and hard. And I'm going to show you some cool stuff today. All right? I'm going to show you some of my deadly techniques, right, on how I knock people out hard and fast. But once I do that, show of hands, clinical hypnotists, right? People who do clinical stuff. Right, people who are interested in just doing stage stuff. They want to do all kinds of fun stage stuff. All right? Right, so I'm going to give you a little bit of both because they're combined. Right, they are combined. So if you're in the office, you bring somebody in. This is now going to be a one person show. I will put that person out and say, "Man, this hypnotic feeling, man, you feel so good. In fact, you got a big giant smile on your face. Because man, hypnosis feels really good. Right? In fact, man, the smile is getting bigger and bigger. In fact, you can't stop laughing. Every time you try to stop laughing, makes you laugh even more. Right? And I'm giving an auditory anchor. Right? Because which I've conditioned them to understand that this means yes. So as soon as they walk into that office, the show has already begun. And we'll be talking, pre-talk, just chit-chat. You're right. You know what? It's funny you say that. Right? They've already been conditioned that this means yes throughout the entire process in the beginning. The show has already begun. When I walk into a radio station, as soon as I walk into that radio station, I'm already scanning, I'm watching the room, and I'm already conditioning, pre-anchoring everybody because I know that somebody's going to go down on that show. Somebody's getting knocked out. Right? That's an Italian term for hypnotizing people. Knocked out. As you can see, I'm an Italian guy from New York, right? And sleep with the fishes, right? Right. So, yes, you're getting that auditory anchor. But yes, man, you have a big smile on your face. Back every time you try to stop laughing, makes you laugh even more. And all of a sudden, now the subject's laughing out loud. So now, I ask you the question: is that acceptable in a clinical setting?
What, to knock them out?
To put them out, and then had them doing like what they can't. They're smiling, and then they can't stop laughing. Is that acceptable?
I think so.
I think so too. Now, if I said, all right, now you know you're gonna your pants are falling off, right? And I was now is that acceptable? No. Not in a clinical setting, right? In a stage setting, right? Depending on what the show is, you can get away with all kinds of stuff, all right? But in a clinical setting, now we're talking about clinical setting. If I make them start smiling and they start make them start laughing out loud, that's perfectly acceptable in my book. Of course, hypnosis feels good. But what did it give you? It gave you so much clout. If you have your phone out, and you're now videotaping this, which, again, you should videotape every performance. If you're videotaping this and you show them that afterwards, they're like, oh, my God, look at this, right? How much believability do you have now? It's off the charts. It's literally off the charts. That subject has now become an ambassador to hypnosis. That they will tell everybody they meet. This hypnosis stuff is great. Man, this guy had me laughing. It was unbelievable. I didn't remember what happened. I was in the thing. And he said, yeah, you know. And next thing I know, I was out. And then next thing you know, they showed me this video. I was laughing. They can't stop talking about it. Let's go the other way. You've hypnotized somebody, right, to stop smoking, lose weight, whatever. And they were lightly hypnotized, like, say, level 3, right, which we know we can still get the work done. And they quit smoking, but they left the building saying, "What a crock of shit that was, boy! All right, you know what? I'm just gonna do it myself. I can't smoke. I got to lose the weight." And they do it. Did the hypnotist do his job? Absolutely. But does the subject believe that the hypnotist did his job? No. Now they got to be an ambassador? No. And we lost. And that's a shame. It's terrible. So perform. Give them the show. Give them what they want. Right, that was my little thing for the clinical people. You know, it's more than just the show stuff. I'm gonna start giving you the show, the performing as the show stuff now. Again, it's my favorite topic to talk about because again, it's made my career. It's you know, it's made me millions of dollars. You know, it's literally when it comes to stage hypnosis, I'm the guy. You know, I've done more than anybody who's ever done anything with this. I've made more than anybody else in the history of stage hypnosis. So I know all the specialized techniques. If you want to learn how to do this the right way, I'm going to show you the right process. But believability is the number one decision. Number two, next decision. So now I've made the decide. If I do this, is the audience watching, whether it's one person or 1,000, are they going to believe hypnosis more? Yes. Okay. Yes or no? So if you say no, then don't do that. But if you say yes, then go for it. Do it. Next, if I do this, is it going to be better or worse entertainment-wise? That's the second decision process you make. If I do this, is it going to be funnier or not funnier? And last, if I do this, am I going to make more or less money? That's the dirt. So you go bang, bang, bang. Those are three decisions you make on the fly thousands of times doing the show. Because every single person on that stage is worth $130 to you. Because you're going to get paid to do the show, but after the show, you're going to sell your wares. Back of the room sales. I want you selling audio programs. I want you to sell hypnosis sessions. I want you to sell a funny product, a T-shirt or something like that, usually an item that links up with one of the sketches you did in your show. All those things add up to extra money. And it will, and especially in the beginnings of your careers as a stage performer, as a performer of hypnosis, the back-of-the-room sales is, I call it the great equalizer. Because if you go do a show and I go do a show, who's going to make more money? Me. I've been doing it a long time, right? I can literally go do a bowling alley on a Monday night and draw 100 people at $20 a head, make $2,000, and then sell my product sales after. And I could do it any day of the week. I could sell 100, 200, 300 tickets, depending on what day of the week it is. Because I'm well known. I'm doing it forever. You guys are not going to have that. I can tell you right now, in the beginning, you're going to draw 50 people, 40 people in that area. which is not bad, by the way. All right? But the great equalizer is going to be your product sales afterwards. So how good are you at selling your product afterwards? That's your great equalizer. Because somebody sitting on this chair here who's hypnotized is, I call it the Glengarry leads, the good leads, right? These guys are your ambassadors. They've been hypnotized, they feel fantastic, and they're going to buy one of your packs. So I think every single hypnotist should have audio programs. If you don't have them, you better get them. Go to a recording studio and make them. If you don't know how to make them, come see me after the show, after this event, and I'll show you how to do it. And you should have 15 audio programs. 15. Here's the 15 you should have. You should have one that is free. A very generic free audio program with hypnosis on it. Basically just hypnotizing them and make them feel good. And that free one should be on your social media, on your website, on everything you do, and just give it away as a lead magnet to get other people into your pipeline. That's number one. Number two, you should have a low-cost audio program. $5. So it's almost like the free one. It doesn't have a lot of stuff on it. It makes you feel good. I put my good energy affirmation on there. The same one I do at the end of my shows. I make that my $5 item. It's got some good stuff on there, but I'm not giving away the farm.
How long is it?
It's like 20 minutes. Got a little quick induction, right? So nice induction. It's got a nice little thing there. And it gives them a little nice little boost. All right? And make it $5. Now, why do I make it $5? Because when I introduced that to the audience, and remember, 100, 200, 300 people just saw me be amazing hypnotizing people. I take out my little sales bag at the end. I say, I had this audio program. It makes you sleep like a baby, man. It's only $5. Everybody's like, oh, I'll do it for $5. Yeah, you download it on your phone, right? People love downloading stuff on their phone. Got it on your phone, and man, it's going to make you sleep like a rock. It's amazing. It's only $5. And they're all going to rush to the table to get the $5 item, right? So that's your second item. Then I want you to have 12, and the secret ingredient here is 12 additional audios that do a myriad of all the other stuff that you are specializing in. So let's say you do stress and anxiety. Whatever, I'm just gonna make it up, right? I would be very heavily weighted in stress and anxiety in my additional 12 items. And now that's gonna be your bonus pack. And you can even call it the bonus pack. And there's 12 hypnotic audios in there. And those 12 hypnotic audios, right, are going to be sold like this. I'm going to show you, I got this one. I got this one. I got this one here. I got this one here. And then all of a sudden they're going to go like this. I can use that one. I can use that one too. I can use that one too. And then you overload their brain. He said, I know what you're saying, Rich. I can use every one of those things. What should I do? I have a pack that's got all 12. And the Zagarnik effect kicks in. I don't know if anybody knows what the Zagarnik effect is. It's a military term, right? The Zagarnik effect, what happens is the brain hates unfinished business, loves finality. That's why I like going to the buffet. Oh, I can eat anything I want. Take whatever you want. How much can I eat? How long? Get whatever you want. Oh, sure, I like that. Right? That's why you like the buffet. Unlimited. So now you have these 12 items. I'm going to give you all 12. If you did one a month, by the end of the year, your life's going to be amazing. Ding, 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 ding. 12 programs. There's 12 months. If I did one a month, by the end of the year, the Zagarnik, 12 and 12, it adds up. Yes. Make their brain say yes. That's why you have a pack of 12. So now that all the programs sell individually for $20 each, you sell the whole pack for $100. I'm going to give you it for half price. So now every person on this rack is worth $130 to buy the DVD of the show, $130. And every person on that rack is worth $130 to you. That's why I said you have to make a decision. Do I get rid of this guy because the crowd hates them? Or do I keep them and make the $130? All right? But you have. But what's the first decision? Remember the first one? Believe. So if everybody in the audience does not believe that the show is real, but if this guy buys $130 off me, which one is more valuable?
Crowd.
The crowd. You don't want to lose the crowd. Of course, there's 200-300 people in the crowd who are going to buy boxes off you, and there's only one guy buying the box. You get it? And plus, you save face. The crowd loves you now instead of hating you. Of course, the crowd will hate you for leaving the guy up on stage. So do not do that. In the beginning of your careers, being a performer of hypnosis, you must have a quick hook. It's I'm telling you, I can't stress enough. You have to rule number one. Less is more in a small show. And you guys can be doing small shows in the beginning. But let me do the math on a small show for you, just so you don't feel discouraged, because I don't want to discourage you. All right? I want to help you. So a guy comes up and he takes my training, and I tell him what to do, and he does what I tell him to do, and he calls me up, he's pissed. This doesn't work, Rich. No good. I wasted my money. Tell me what happened, bro. He goes, well, I did like you told me, because I went and I got a free venue at this pizza place, right? Only 50 people showed up. I said, when was this? He goes, last Wednesday. I goes, last, I said, 50 people. He goes, yeah, all right. How much were the tickets? I said, $20, right? I said, well, what would you sell after the show? He goes, it was terrible. It was $300. You said $300 worth of product at the show? Yeah. He goes, well, did you sell any sessions? No, I was too disgusted. I didn't sell any private sessions. Well, did you get everybody's email address after the show? Like I told you? No. I just wanted to get out of there. So he goes, this was a massive failure. Let me get this straight. First of all, you got the pizza joint because you deliver pizza. That's your real job. You deliver pizza. And you made $1,000 per three. You made $1,300 on a Wednesday night doing your first show. And you complained to me that it was a failure. I beg to differ. This United States of America, all right, the average guy probably only makes about $50,000, $60,000 a year. Was he taking home $1,000 a week maybe? All right? You made $1,300 on a Wednesday night in a pizza joint for an hour and a half of fun. And you didn't do anything I told you to do. Because what you should have done was take everybody's email address after the show. And then what happens is all the people who buy a DVD, right? Let's say five people end up buying a DVD. I got everybody's email address after the show. Another four, let's say I caught 30 emails after the show. I didn't catch everybody. I caught 30 of them. Next time I go back to that pizza joint, what do? I email all the people who were on the DVD and said, hey, remember you were on the show last time? This time you get to watch and your friends come and get, and he brings 5-10 of his friends. All those emails that you caught after the thing, you tell them people, hey, I'm coming back, and they bring some friends. So instead of 50 people, now it's 100 people. By the third time you go back, now it's 200 people. After 3 years of doing this, you've reached critical mass. You need to get 25 venues that love you. 25 venues that you could draw 100 people in. 25, all right? That's nothing. It's going out and talking to places, and I can show you how to do it. You get 25. There's 50 weeks in a year. If you do them twice a year, that's you're working every week. I use this place called Snappers as my litmus test. Snappers is the worst comedy club in the country. It sucks. The owner is a jerk. That's a good word for him. There's a more technical term for him in the industry, but I'm not going to say it because I'm on video. All right? This guy is no good. He's got the worst comedy club in the country. He doesn't even want to get you a hotel. He's a stingy creep. He's a slimy dirtball. All right? The place only holds 100 people. All right? And he sucks at promoting. Right? So you're going to go there and do that. That's going to be like one of the first gigs you guys will ever do. Right? Gigs just like that. It sucks. So 50 people show up. All right? You're not going to get 100% of the door. You're going to get 75. So you're going to get $15 a head, basically. So there's four shows. There's two on Friday, two on Saturday. So 50 times 4 is 200. 200 times 15 is how much? right? It was $3,000. I see, you made $3,000 plus some product sales, you suck at product sales. All right? So you do really crappy, you do no private sessions, right? You got to remember, when you do a show and people just saw you be amazing, hypnotizing, knocking people out, if you go like this, hey, I'm doing private sessions after the show if anyone wants, you know how they're going to line up to do it for $500 a pop? I routinely do it, and I do 15-minute sessions after the show for $500 a pop. When I bring my elite members with me, I always say, You guys do the sessions. So I say, I got additional hypnotists here and stuff like that. You want to do private sessions? Doing private sessions after the show. I let my elite members do it, right? And they're $500 for 15-minute sessions. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Knock them out. Go do it. That's how lucrative this business is if you know how to do it right, if you work it. But anyway, let's get back to snappers, right? So you're crappy at selling stuff. So you sell another, like, you know, $500,000 worth of stuff. Right, you only sold $250 a show for the four shows. You made $4,000 for the weekend. So you made $4,000 for a Friday, Saturday in the worst venue in the country. Right? If you did that every week, working the worst of the worst, the scummy of the scum, how much did you make for the year? A lot of money. Double six-figure income. Doing it really poorly. Doing this really, you know, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. So how do we get there? Let's get there now. Let's get doing the actual show itself. The key ingredient here is knowing the process of putting it all together. And the comedy hypnosis show is like a card trick. It's a card trick, really, if you think about it. You guys all see my show tonight, and I'll actually explain all the steps of the show in real time. Because doing a hypnosis show for hypnotists is like shooting fish in a barrel. It's actually ridiculous. It almost doesn't count. You go like this, sleep. Everybody's in a freaking coma. You know, it's a joke, really. So I don't really have to do a lot of legwork to hypnotize people. But I'm going to explain the whole process to you as you're watching it in real time. But it's like a card trick. If there's 100 people in the audience on a regular night, not all hypnotists, there's 100 people in the audience, how many are great subjects? Anybody want to know statistically?
10.
Who said 10? 10. It's 10. 10 are great subjects. That means it's your responsibility to get as many of those 10 on that stage. If you do that, you win. I've done 10,000 shows and never once had a show that I did not happen. It's almost a statistical impossibility. Right? How do you make that happen? Because I know the formula. I invented it. Because the one thing I hate is looking stupid. And I said, man, I've seen shows go belly up. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a bad hypnosis show. Ever see a hypnosis show go belly up? Nobody wants to see that, man. It's brutal. It's very uncomfortable. I remember one time taking Joe to see another hypnotist show, and this guy was a big, high-end guy. I'll keep him nameless. But we saw the show, and she says, you owe me big time for this. Right?
Because Joe, I'm taking a picture of her smile.
Nobody wants to see the show go belly up. Nobody wants to see that. So there's a process to making sure that doesn't happen. And in the beginning, remember I said less is more? If I only have 50 people in the audience, that's a harder show to do than 1,000 people in the audience. 1,000 people in the audience means I have how many great subjects? 100. If I have 50 people in the audience, it means how many people I got? I probably have 5. All right? So you have to really play it close to the vest. Now, this is kind of a woo-woo conference, which I like. I'm a big energy guy, right? I understand how energy works. Energy transfers from one to the other, right? You want to become a great hypnotist? Learn how to transfer energy. Learn how that energy starts flowing. So if you're doing a show, all right, don't be mechanical, right? Don't think that hypnosis... Yeah, you're mechanically saying words and doing techniques and moves and stuff like that to get people hypnotized. But you know what the real secret to hypnotizing people hard and deep is? Your energy. You. You need to become the induction. I'll tell you a story. Anything can become an induction. People say, I can do inductions with zero words. I can just look at the person like this. And they, boom. And they'll knock out. Because I know I can do it. It's my energy. You need to become the induction. A super hard subject. You know how you hypnotize a super hard subject? You put them next to an easy subject. An easy subject, the energy will seep into the hard subject and knock that subject out. Does everybody know that? Anybody ever seen that? Everybody understand that concept? Trust me, it works. Yeah, I'm a skeptical New Yorker. Right? We don't believe anything unless you see it. Even if you see it, a guy could be a magician. He tricked me. Right? But that's the way it works. Trust me. So if you have one fish, it's another industry term for a jerk. Right? You have one fish on the stage. All right, and he's this guy. Watch this. You got to get that guy off the stage, because his energy will infect the other subjects and make that show very difficult to do. So during my pre-talk of my show, and the show is won and lost in the pre-talk, you must get that pre-talk down really well. I'm doing my pre-talk. First thing I do, I come out with an icebreaker. You address the elephant in the room. Right? So what's the elephant in the room right here? Is this cold room right now, right? Man, I love performing at the Arctic Circle. Right? Man, the place is packed. And he goes, man, I had no place to park my dog sled. Right? Bang, bang. All right? So you address the elephant room, icebreaker, pop, pop. You want to come out of the audience, fine. Bang, bang. Right? So now the audience understands you're funny. Ah, I get it. They understand your voice. They understand your accent, right? Hey, this guy's a guy in New York. He's got the Tony Soprano thing going on. Yeah. Right? Then from there, but I'm analyzing everything. How many people have been hypnotized before? Right? A couple of people raise their hand. They clap. Goes, yeah, I remember you. Right? Boom. Crack a laugh. Even if you never met the guy before. Yeah, I remember you. The rest of us laughing. Right? But now, I just gleaned data. I got data. So now I know this person's been hypnotized before. If they're walking to the stage, where do I sit them? Right smack in the middle. Because I know they've been hypnotized before, and the energy is going to go like this. Right? I'm doing the show. I'm doing my pre-talk. And some guy goes, hey, what about that? The heckler guy. He's agitated that you are the star of the show. He can't take it. He got to get his two cents in. Got to get his pound of flesh. Hey, what about me? Right? Is that guy going to volunteer? You know he is. He's going to come and like this. Watch. And he's going to sit right in chair number one. Hey, watch. And he sits like this. That's the guy.
You met my ex.
Yeah, exactly. So, right? So do you want him on your stage?
No.
So what do? I observe. I know where he is. All right? Here's the guy. He's the guy, right? All of a sudden, volunteers come to the stage, right? And all of a sudden, boom. I already got my eye on him. He stands up. He says, welcome to the stage. I go like this. I head him off the pass. Hey, what's your name, man? Mike. Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? Yeah, where you from? Oh, yeah, Boston. Hey, man. Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. Yeah, we don't really get along too good. He goes, oh, man, look at that. All the chairs are filled up. All right, you know what? Try from the audience, right? And we get an empty chair. We'll let you on. Everybody happy. Because a lot of times, that dick guy, that's another industry term, right? He is the show off. And he's the guy who likes to go like this. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, give packs for everybody. Yeah, he'll buy a lot of junk off you. He takes out his big roll and he wants to buy everything off. Right? So why get him mad? But you don't want him on your stage. So you see how we're doing it? We're gleaning data. You're always data mining. So now I got a couple people on the stage, right? And I want you to start testing them out and see if they're any good. So these people, did they volunteer probably? Are the good ones volunteering? Or they didn't volunteer? So you test them out. use what I call it the Simon Says induction. You'll see me do it today. It's almost like playing Simon Says. You ever play a game, play Simon Says, right? So what I do is I do a hypnotic induction that tries to trip them up. And what happens is they expose themselves. The guys who are fooling around, the people aren't. And I can see, number one is good, number two is good, number three, no good, number four, and five. Yeah. So out of the five people, I don't like three and five. Yank three and five. Only get the three. But man, Rich, I'm down to three now. Right? That's fool's gold. Right? You think you have to keep everybody because you got a small rack. No, don't think that way at all. In a small show, less is more. Give them the hook. You're better off with three good subjects than five with two of the week. They're two a week, and it'll weaken up the other ones. Because what's going to happen is, I'm going to use another technique to glean more people from the audience that should have volunteered, using what I call the cherry picker. Right? I have a cherry picker induction, right, that exposes the best of the best people in the room. And then I bring those people up and put them in the rack. And now I have a full rack of killer subjects. Again, you'll see me do it tonight. So I do Simon Says, cherry picker. Fill the rack with good subjects. And then I do my progressive relaxation induction for the whole group. But that's strictly a formality at that point. Basically a deepening technique. And now you have your show. You get it? All right? And again, you'll see me do it tonight. And I literally have all those scripts. If you want, all the scripts are in the book. The cherry picker, Simon Says, all that stuff's all in there. Those are my gorilla inductions. So why, Rich, why don't you just go to the cherry picker, pick the best ones, and bring them to the rack and just get the show started that way? Why do you think I don't do that? It looks set up. If you don't ask for the volunteers in the beginning, it looks set up. And what's the rule number one? Believability. I would love to just cherry pick right out of the box and go off to the races. Great, cuts all the extra stuff out. Bang, let's just go, man. You know, I'm great at inductions. I can literally walk down the aisle and start going like this. Boom. I can just look at the people who I know are going to easily be hypnotized. Just knock them all out. But what's the audience going to say? Oh, back up. Wait a minute. He knows all these people. See, I know the trick now. And you have no show. They'll laugh a little bit. That's good. Yeah, they're doing funny stuff. But they're never going to laugh hard. And that's what you want. Hard laughing. You want them to be just, where you just pound them into submission with laughs. Everything becomes an induction at that point. Once you become the induction, it doesn't make a difference anymore. Your energy needs to flow it. So remember we talked about how energy flows from one subject to the other? How if you want to hypnotize a hard subject, what do? Put a good subject next to him. So let's go one step further. What, are you going to start carrying good subjects around with you everywhere you go? You could, I guess, but let's say you want to circumvent that. What do? What do you think? You become the host. You become the good subject. I want you to become the induction. I want you to become the host. So you learn how to turn on your energy, and then you become the host. So now any person you stand next to will now easily be hypnotized, and everything becomes an induction. I'll tell you the wackiest one of all time. I'm working Battle Creek, Michigan. I got the world's greatest memory. I memorize every show. Battle Creek, Michigan. And I'll preface the story by saying I had Mexican food for lunch that day. So the forces of evil are working on me a little bit. All right? So I'm doing the show and I'm cruising along with ease. The place is packed. And I like to watch the crowd as they're laughing. I'll watch the subjects like this, right? But I like to watch the crowd because everybody's having a good time, right? And I like that. I'm feeding off it. And I'm on the stage and I'm doing like, you know, and I'm cracking rats, you know, like one after another, bang, bang, right? And I'm like, it's like I was auditioning for the fart scene in Blazing Saddles, right? I'm cracking them loose, and they're smelly too, and I'm like, whoa. And I'm doing the smell routine on the stage. I'm like, oh man, the person next to you smells really nasty, and the subjects are going deep. They're like, and I'm relentlessly bang, bang, bang. I'm cracking them loose, cracking, and the subjects are going so deep, they're like this. And I'm laughing too, because I know I'm doing it, but you can't hear it because the crowd's laughing so hard. But I can smell it on the stage. They're like, whoa, man. So now I'm doing the show, and there's a guy in the front row with a menu in his hand. Right? He's in the front row watching the show. He's got a menu. And he's like this. Right? He's like, whoo. All right. So I'm like, this is going to be good. So I go up to him. I put him right on mic. I said, bro, what's the problem? He goes, man, smells like shit. I go, sleep. And he goes right down. That's the fart induction. All right?
You teach that. Remind me not to volunteer.
Yeah. So now why did that work? It's because of you, right? It's because it's all set up, and all the dots are connected, and it works. It's not a real induction, but it worked as an induction because we made it so. And it's the exact same thing with what you can do anything. You can make anything happen, as long as you become the host. And that's what you work towards. You work towards being so powerful that you can impose your will upon the other person's energy. So when you invade their space, but when you get into their space, it automatically starts happening, and all of a sudden they start feeling it. And I go, oh man, then you can say anything. You can just have a conversational, and then all of a sudden, boom, you put them out, and they're gonna go down. And on the small shows, it's crazy valuable, especially in the beginning of your careers. So, all right, I got 10 minutes. Pre-talk, most important, data mining. Bring subjects on stage, volunteers, don't cherry pick yet. Test the ones out that you have. I don't like this one, this one, this one. Get rid of them, cherry pick. Replace the seats that you have, replace them, progressive relaxation induction to the entire rack. Then you start your show. The funniness happens. There's a rule in comedy. The longer you make the audience wait, the better the payoff needs to be. So if I have a long, long setup, that punchline better be bang. It would be like, they're laughing hard. So I just did a long induction, right? A couple minutes long. There's no laughing during that part, right? What does that mean has to happen after that? You got to start hitting them hard. So what I want to do now is I want to rapid fire my comedy hypnosis material for the next 20 minutes. How many people have seen other hypnosis shows? Not mine. Have seen other comedy hypnosis, right? You've seen shows, right? And they're like, now you're going to realize that you're now in the greatest orchestra and you're going to be playing your favorite instrument. Every time I hear that bit, I cringe. That old, tired vaudeville nonsense, all right? And yeah, the people start going like this right now. Now play it faster. And the crowd goes, they chuckle in the beginning, they laugh, and all of a sudden, what happens? The bit dies like this. They're showing phenomena. They're basically doing a hypnosis demonstration. It's not a comedy show. No, if you want to perform hypnosis, it's supposed to be a show. If you're going to get paid to do a comedy show, it better be funny. So Here's what you need to do instead. Remember the science of comedy we talked about? Everybody saw the longer the gap, the better the punchline better be. So here's zero laughing. Here's tremendous amount of laughing. The laugh goes like this. And then what you want to do is you want to bounce that laugh off the top. From when you have zero laughing here, the joke to make you go up to here, it has to be really good. Otherwise, they're not going to laugh at it. But once you're here, it doesn't have to be as funny anymore to go like this again. So the goal is to go like this and have that snapping effect. So what you'll do is you'll tell a story of mediocre level hypnosis sketches and bits, but rapid fire, so it goes like this, bang, 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 and the laugh keeps going like this. So if you say, oh, you're in your favorite orchestra, all of a sudden they start playing the violin and the piano and the drums or whatever like that, and then all of a sudden the bit dies off, because they're doing the same thing over and over again. There's no snap. Now you're playing in the orchestra. You could do that as part of your story. You're playing in the orchestra. Wait, now your pants just fell off, right? Hold your pants up while you're doing the thing, right? I just escalated it. Now the guy's trying to hold his pants up while he's playing the instrument, right? Now the guy comes in, he just kicked you. He kicked you. Oh, man, right? So what I'm doing is I'm making the snap. Now you're eating ice cream. Now you're on a roller coaster. Now you're doing this, right? You keep making the snap. So all those sketches that are not good enough to stand on their own by themselves, but when strung together, rapid-firely delivered, gives you this. It's like hitting a speed bag. And now you're destroying the crowd. That's the way a show is done. You'll see me do it tonight. That's the way you have devastation. So, before I leave, I'll explain the difference between great and excellence. If you do a fair show, it's really easy to be successful in this business. Excellence. I teach excellence. Because when excellence happens, your life becomes on cruise control. Everything happens to you automatically. That's what excellence brings you. So I'm going to go all the way down to fair or poor. Fair and poor is almost the same thing. So if you go out and do a fair show, here's what happens. How much owe you for that? That was $1,000? All right. They pay you. I'll never see you over again. Bang. It's done. That's a fair show. A good show is almost the same thing. What do I owe you? $1,000? All right. Pretty good. Next. Hey, Joey, you got the bartender numbers again? What's the numbers? Right? They don't even talk to you anymore. That's a good show. A good one. A great show goes like this. Whoa, man, that was amazing. That was incredible. I can't believe, that was real? Those guys were really hypnotized like that. Because, man, when that guy, that big fat guy, did that thing, like, man, that was unbelievable, right? What do I owe you, right? Oh, it's $1,000? Hey, here's $1,000, right? Hey, Joey, get this guy a meal. What do you want? What do you want to eat? We got the great ribs here. Get the ribs. But that's a great show. Here's excellence. It's a level above great. When you do an excellent show, man, that was incredible. That was really unbelievable. You know what? I got to say, that was probably the best show we've ever had here. You want to do it again next month? No, it's too soon. Let's do 6 months. Okay? He's opening the book and rebooking it right now. He's literally rebooking the show right now. Your life has now been on cruise control. That's what excellence brings you. One show brings you another show, brings you another show, right? Rich, how do you book 300 shows a year? You know, I don't get on the phone ever to book a show, ever. I've never booked a show, ever. I never called a gig to get a show. I started off, I gave him excellence, shows come to me. Yeah, you worked this place back in St. Louis, right? The Wildy Theater and stuff like that. He goes, yeah, you know, my buddy has a theater and stuff like that too. He wants to do the same thing. Yeah, no problem. Here's the price. One guy tells the next guy, tells the next guy, the next guy. That's what excellence brings you. So be excellent. Learn excellence. So I have literally 5 of my books left. I've already bought them already. So I got 5. It's got all my scripts in here. It's got all the 8 steps of how to do the show. All 8, you're going to see me do all 8 steps tonight. I'm going to go over all 8 steps in my show tonight when I do the show. You'll see it, and I'll explain it to you. He's got all my secrets, how to do street hypnosis, how to knock people out, the energy transfer technique. It's all in here if you guys want that. I got 5 of them. I have something. I'm retiring, by the way, from doing the show. I run hypnosisworld.com now, me and my girlfriend, and our bigger goal now is to put hypnosis on the map in a big way, where everybody in the world understands that you need a hypnotist. That's my goal for the rest of my life. So I have to stop. I have need time to do something else. The show has to stop. That's one thing that's going to be cut away. So I'm training new people to do the show, just like me. And I'll create an army, because I can get every single gig in the country. I know all the bookers in the country. I can get every gig if I wanted all of them, but I can't because there's not enough time. But I want to create an army of other stage hypnotists. So I'm doing my last stage hypnosis training of all time. It's going to happen in April of 2025 in Las Vegas. Now, why are we doing it in Las Vegas? I have a lot of friends in Las Vegas. So I'm going to train you how to do my show identically, how to have an excellent show every single night. I'm going to train you how to do it. But also, I'm bringing in 25 comedians, comedian buddies and comedy writers, so that way you can write with real comedy writers to write your show and make it unique to you. So I'm going to give you the structure how to do the show, but then you want to write a show that's unique to you. Your personality is different from mine. You shouldn't do the exact same show as me. You should do the same structure, but different jokes. So we have comedy writers coming in that you're going to work with the comedy writers. You're going to learn all, like I said, all the steps. You're going to learn, I have a monetization day. I show you exactly how to monetize 5 revenue streams that a stage hypnotist has. I show you how to monetize all 5. Right? Just like we talked about the product sales, right? All that stuff. Right, I have an app on my phone. I'll show you how to put all those digital downloads on your app. I have an app that zaps other products right to other people's phones. I have what they call Meet the Bookers Boot Camp. You're going to get that too. What is that? That means all the bookers around the country that book gigs, cruise ships, casinos, comedy clubs, theaters, corporate events, all those bookers are going to be at this training. And they're going to give you their playbook. They're going to say exactly why we book people. They're going to say why we don't book people. We're going to have dinner and lunch with them. You're going to be friends with them. You're going to shake their hands. They're going to book you on gigs if you're not a dick. All right? Again, back to the industry term. Right? Yeah, exactly. Right? So we want to create relationships. Right? So we have the Meet the Bookers Boot Camp is included in this training. What else is included in this training? We're actually going to do live shows in Las Vegas. I'm going to give away 1,000 tickets a night to make sure we have a packed house. You guys are going to perform on the stage, and we're going to videotape your show. So now you have your sizzle reel, your electronic press kit. We have a photographer coming in to take your headshots, right? We got my guy Ashley. Have you guys met Ashley, the guy with the long hair, looks like a rock star guy, right? He's like a marketing genius, right? And he's going to write all the bios and get all the stuff done, put your promo materials, right? All that stuff. There he is. The guy's a genius, all right? All that is included in the training. So this training is so comprehensive that it's a week long. It's the last week of April. It's so comprehensive it's a week long, plus there's online training leading up to the training starting in January, because I have to prepare you for the week. That's how complex it is. Because if you were just to come in April for the training, you're going to be like, this is overwhelming. There's so much stuff. What am I going to do, right? So I have to prepare you for the training. So it's it's not even a training. It's a process. You're learning the entire system. And then, last but not least, those people in that class will now be part of the group that I will be booking in the Hypnosis World Agency. And all the gigs that I do, you will then be doing. Because you've been trained to do my exact excellent show. And I won't look like a stiff by recommending you. You guys, you get it? That's the training. So, what does that cost? That training is going to be $10,000. However, I have it staged. I have it staggered. The first 40 people that buy it get it for $2,500. After that, it goes to $3,000. After that, it goes to 3,500. Every 10 makes it go up another 500 till it gets to the 10,000 number. Right now, I'm at 29. So you have 11 to go at the $2,500 price. If you guys want them, I got the enrollment form. If you really want to be a stage hypnotist, you want to be able to perform hypnosis at an excellent level, if you want to go out, if you do one gig, it pays for it. If you do one gig, actually two like the pizza guy did, all right? If you did two crappy ones like the pizza guy did, you'd already pay for it. So it's really kind of a no-brainer, right? And I will hold your hand, and you're going to get this, and it's the only one I'm doing. I am never doing it ever again because I'm going to get my people to do the gigs. That's my goal. My goal is to retire from doing the show and get you guys to do the show. That's the goal. That's the process. So I got 5 books, and I have 11 slots at that great price. Come see me. I'll take care of you. I know. She's getting zapped, so she's staying in the front row. I know. It's weird. I can't explain it.